Apple, Android, Kindle, we don't care what you use. Search the App Store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app, give it a try. All right. Welcome to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studios. On the phone is Lisa Murphy. How you doing, Lisa Murphy?
I'm good. I haven't heard that music in so long.
I know. I've been running around, and you know, the intention had been maybe to record some while I was on the road in Australia, and that didn't happen. And I've been back for a day, and I said we got to record, because I was missing my Lisa Murphy time. And hey, listeners, truth is, we got no topic. We're gonna see where the conversation goes, I guess. Lisa Murphy.
Tell the people where you've been.
Oh, I was in Australia working for 2 months, and we did 16,000 plus kilometers. That's about over 10,000 miles. Circumnavigated the country, and pretty awesome, and visited a lot of amazing programs, and because when you do what we do for a living, you kind of get invited to the really cool programs, there's some places that are really happy to have people.
There's some places that don't invite us.
Yeah, yeah.
What they're implying.
Yeah. And so it was just, we got to visit with some outstanding programs and meet some great people and see lots of Australian nature and drive on their crappy roads and use their crappy internet. Because Australia, I love you, but your roads are like 1950s and your internet is like 1994. I'm throwing. You're gonna get Australia.
That's the only bad thing I've ever heard Jeff say about Australia.
I'm gonna get Australia all pissed at me. I just expected more four-lane divided highway type roads connecting the major cities of a grown-up country, and it was all like circumnavigating the country. It was like mostly two-lane roads that.
What the really?
Oh yeah. That were moderately well cared for, and the internet was three.
Dial up, AOL.
Even on my phone, I heard the dial up signal, but. It was awesome. One of the things I noticed over there, Lisa, is that the last couple of years they've established a national set of standards for programs, and one of the things it's trying to do is embrace play. And so if caregivers, for the most part, and me, and somebody will call me on if I'm misunderstanding this, if programs can justify the things they're doing, they can do them. And so things like fire happen. We visited one program that did fire for the first time on the day we visited, and it seems to really be an effort to put power and control back in the hands of the caregivers, which makes it a little bit easier to put power and control back in the hands of the children.
So let me ask a question, and I'm not being an ass. I really want to know. So there is a trend toward trusting that if you can articulate why you're doing what you're doing, that you're going to be allowed to do it?
Pretty much, yeah. And I mean, it comes down to they require a risk assessment. A lot of programs prefer calling it a benefit risk assessment.
Yeah,
paying attention to the benefits first, and then outlining the risks and how you plan on managing those. And pretty much, my understanding is if you complete that document and have been thoughtful about those things, you do what you do. And so there are flying foxes, zip lines, and there are our kids making fire, and there are free range chickens on playgrounds, which I thought was freaking amazing. So it's pretty cool stuff.
And did you get a? I guess what I'm. Where was the line in the sand? Like, what had previously been allowed that was maybe perhaps a little risky that didn't like, did you have to go back and, or maybe I'm getting more technical than you might even have an answer for, but I guess I'm wondering, like, what would a program, like, how do they know that that's something that they want to start doing needs to have that risk-benefit analysis?
I think
did you get that deep in?
I've just started digging into the standards because we're going to be going back, but my understanding is I don't think there's any – I didn't see any clear-cut line, but I think if you
okay. –
I think it's that if you think you might need to be doing a benefit-risk assessment, then you should probably do one.
Well, that's fair. Wow, how awesome would that be if you could, like, get a model of some sort that you could start working on executing here? Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. And, and a lot of programs are doing that here within the structure that we have in the States. And I'm not a big fan of federally mandated policy, but it seems to be a good thing over there. I don't know if something like that would work in the States because there's just so many more, it's just so much more population. I don't know if it'd be manageable or if that we'd create as effective a document as what they've built over there. But it gives me hope. And I mean, there's programs that are still focusing on academics and not interested in trusting kids and school prep, academic sit down worksheets, that kind of stuff 24/7, and that's sad, but the programs that want to embrace trust and playful learning are able to do that under this model, it looks
like. That's great. That's good. And you know what? And I kind of on a small sense appreciate that you acknowledge that some of the that it wasn't 100% absolutely amazingly awesome, only because I think that right now there's a generalization. I don't want to say a stereotype because that's not the right word, but I think there's an overarching generalization assumption that, like, everything coming out of Australia is like right on target. I guess I appreciate that they're still kind of finding their middle ground, and you know what I'm saying, because I think the United States is guilty of, you know, you got a couple of good things going on somewhere and then we kind of leap to this jump to this conclusion that, like, oh my god, they're so awesome, everything there is fantastic, and I wish we could go there and be them.
Absolutely.
Smacks it into reality a little bit.
I actually told them that, because everything you see online, it's all unicorns and cotton candy, and the reality that programs are dealing with, I mean, staff still don't make enough money, and there's stress, and there's burnout, and there are crappy programs that are out to make a buck, and they don't really have the best interests of children in mind. So they've got all the problems that we're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems that this new tool that they introduced, I think it was 2014, that they rolled it out, it seems to be a step in the right direction for the programs that are willing and able
to
take that step. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's hope.
There's hope for the world. Yeah. And I mean, I think one of the big things is that we can all reach out and grab a hold of the good bits, no matter where we find them. So that's kind of a good thing. And so what have you been up to?
Oh man. I had 3 weeks of not traveling that I think went by in the blink of an eye. And you know, there's a part of me that was like, wow, it was awesome. I had some great times with my family and my nieces and nephews. And there's another part of me that's like, back on the road already? Like, what happened? You know, so it flew by. I did some work projects. I haven't talked to Jeff in so long, I forgot how to do it. I think I always over... Not schedule, that's not the right word. I always anticipate the project that I'll actually be able to do during my time off. When I say time off, I mean my time not traveling. You know, like I had two writing projects that I had planned for this break, and I got them done in draft form. But, you know, I had made some mention on social media that I would be able to, you know, put those out there. And you know, it's not there. And, you know, nobody's calling me up and calling me an ass for it. But, you know, it would have been nice to have been able to put some closure on those things. But, you know, it'll all still be there. I've become a lot more gentle with myself and my expectations of myself. So, you know, and practicing what I preach. It's not often that I can have all of my nieces and nephews surrounded, you know, here at the house and play with them. And last night we did night jobs, and they put on their headlamps and they dig in the dirt, and, you know, they were digging a trench and doing all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's one thing to say that kind of stuff is more important than making sure your emails are up to date. And then it's another thing to have 3 weeks of an opportunity to put it into practice. And I was pleased that I was able to do that and didn't cause myself a lot of anxiety. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. And it's, yeah. I agree about that. You always think you can get more done. I mean, I brought projects on this trip with me, and ended up the projects used to mostly were just extra luggage I ended up hauling around because I never got to the stuff because you're doing the other stuff
and
it's so hard.
Yeah.
And so maybe the outtake for this episode is maybe we just all need to slow down a little bit and enjoy the moment a bit more, because life is a rush.
It is, and I was like go right up until that last gig that I had, and I was like, you're my Friday, so, and I was like, woo! And they're like, but it's a Saturday. I'm like, it's a metaphor. Like, I've got 3 weeks with, like, you know, I mean, and for me, like, and my family teases me about this. I also realize I've been saying like way too much. Is that what I would call a lazy day is still like a big day for some. That's just my personality. But I'm finding that I'm really becoming quite good at not doing stuff, which was a surprise to me. And by not doing stuff, I mean, like, look at me. Like, I need to go take a Toastmasters class. I mean,
you're out of
sitting
practice.
On my stoop. I must be out of practice after 3 weeks. Sitting on my stoop, watching the kids play in the yard, only because I don't have a fence and we're on a street. Otherwise, I would have been like, you're on your own. And not worrying, just sitting there. Like, I wasn't thinking, like, oh, I could maybe be multitasking and doing some emails, or I could be doing. I was just enjoying watching, listening, and being on the peripheral and watching the bugs fly around, and I didn't have any anxiety. And that's a new thing for me, to be able to totally put everything on pause. In fact, it got to the point where I was thinking to myself, oh, geez, I wonder if my, like, social media, like, with people are going, oh, my God, where is she? Where is she? You know, what happened? Is everything okay? And then I'm like, really, seriously, you actually think people think that? I'm like, nobody is wondering why the hell you haven't posted anything on Instagram. And it made me think of that movie that I know you haven't seen, but maybe some of our listeners have. It's called Julia and Julia, and she starts a blog, and she blogs her way through cooking everything in Julia Child's cookbook.
I've seen
and
that
at
movie.
One point,
that's a great movie. Yeah, that's a great movie.
Oh, my God, I love. Okay, so you know that scene where she got sick and she didn't blog for a couple days, and she's like, my friends are going to, oh, my God. And he's like, nobody really cares, you know. Anyway, he was like just smacking her down a notch with reality that, you know, nobody's really probably sitting around wondering about this. But you become so enraptured. And for me, it was just, to me, it was actually a really nice recalibration of it, and it allowed me to, I mean, not to forget all philosophical and introspective. These, to me, when I'm off, that's what that time is for. I realize that if there's not a lot of other stuff going around in my life that requires my immediate attention and awareness, I will default to social media. And it was actually kind of refreshing to see that what was going around me kept my attention to where I wasn't feeling that pull. And it kind of allowed me to see why in the past that was something that I would automatically jump to. I don't know. I'm not trying to make any big grand point or anything like that. Like I started taking a walk with my niece every day, and, you know, we started talking and left my phone at home while we were doing that and giving all the other people around me my undivided attention. I started writing letters to people again. Remember old school, like, you know, pen to paper?
Uh-huh.
Like I wrote letters to some people who had reached out to me months ago, and then I finally felt like I had the opportunity to write back to them, and I was like, wouldn't that be awesome to kind of like start that kind of a relationship with some of these old friends again? So I had a really, as much as I feel that the time went by really fast, and I would love, as always, to have one more week before kicking it up again, I really had a nice kind of slow enjoying everything coming around kind of time off. So there you go.
So would you say you were like relishing the moments?
I was.
And I think that's a hard.
I was ketchup and mustarding.
You were condimenting the moments. I think that's kind of a hard thing for some of us to do, isn't it? And
I know it's hard for me.
And then when we do it, and the time flies by, and we get lost in those moments, we experience those flow moments where time just kind of either stands still, and you enjoy that moment. It extends it, or time zips by, or maybe a variation of both of those at the same time. You just get kind of lost in what you're doing, and that's a good feeling, and it's easier to step back to the work when you get a little bit of time like that now and again, a time to relish.
I agree. And you know, I'm so glad you said that, because in the past, okay, so this July time frame, when my four nephews from Tucson, when they are actually able to come visit, it always seems to be during this time frame when my time is off.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, there would always be this sense of, okay, I can give you until 10, and then Auntie has to go, good, and then I can, it was like scheduling this interaction time, and I was not aware of it prior, I was aware of it this time, thinking that I didn't do that. You know, I mean, I was just like, yeah, I'll get to it when I get to it, and whereas previously, I think there was that anxious sense of, you know, oh, shoot, I didn't get stuff done, and this time it was like, nope, I'm well aware of the fact that what's going on in front of me is more important than that other stuff.
Yeah.
And so consequently, when I did have a couple hours to, like, go to the office and get some stuff done, it wasn't like I was leaving something in order to go do that. I found that by not being worried about it, it happened organically, and I actually got more done probably than I have in the past. Isn't that kind of interesting?
Yeah.
By not worrying about it.
Yeah. And I experienced the same thing a lot more and more as I try to experience that, because I think when you approach things that way, I think when you actually do the worky bits of it, you're actually more focused and better at, you create better content, better, your output is better, either more efficient or more effective.
Six gigs just between yesterday and today. So in 24 hours, I mean, to me, because that's just my mindset, is, okay, that was the university, and nice work balancing this vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nice job. Here you go. I'm going to toss you a bone. And I said, thank you, universe.
Yeah. And when I didn't see Lisa Murphy online, I thought, oh, Lisa must be having some fun.
and to our listeners, Jeff did actually text me and just assumed I was putting myself on another social media timeout, which does often happen. Yeah, so it wasn't conscious, this. It was just kind of a byproduct, and and I was okay with it.
Yeah, I checked the news to make sure you weren't dead first, and then I just figured you.
Well, I would have texted you if I had died.
If you died, well, that's good. I expect that. Yeah, we were kind of the same way on that trip. We had places we had to be at specific times, but mostly our time was our own, unless there was a presentation going on or we were on our way to a presentation. But even that was on our own schedule. And so Tosh and I, we spent a lot of time together because we're our business, spent a lot of time together on that 2 month trip, and there are a couple hours where we didn't necessarily get along all that great, but that just kind of happens.
As to be expected.
Exactly. But I think we came back liking each other, and still married, and had some great adventures. You know, we're driving in the middle of nowhere. It's like the one of the longest sections of perfectly straight road in the world is in Southwest Australia, heading out towards Perth, and we're driving along that in the middle of the night because we're doing a 24-hour drive in 24 hours. And along this drive, at a certain point, I just had to pull over. We pulled over and shut off the lights to the car, and the solar system, not the solar system, the universe, no, the all the stars came out to wave at us. I don't have words. It was amazing. It was beautiful. And we stood there in the dark next to the car on the highway for a couple minutes and just looked at the sky together. And it was a good thing.
And you didn't Instagram it?
No, didn't Instagram it. Mostly because it was too dark and I couldn't hold my phone still long enough to get a good shot. But, I mean, if it would have been daylight, I Instagrammed a lot of other shit. But, no, we had other moments like that, too. We spent like 10 days in Melbourne where we got to go to a lot of shows and have a lot of adventures, and it was just good time together, getting lost in the moment, relishing the moments that we were having, and you know, to kind of pull this early learning podcast back to early learning a bit, I think when we in our programs we can create those moments where we just kind of enjoy the stuff that we're doing. Even if it's nothing fancy, we are actually creating an environment that's good for not only us as the adults in the space, but for the children there as well.
I was also very aware, and this can apply to the early childhood component as well, is that I didn't want, this was a conscious thing, I didn't want the nephews to only see me with a phone in my hand documenting. That was a conscious choice. I'm like, I don't want them to think, because they're old enough now to start, you know, remembering. Like, they even shared memories that they had from the last, you know, time that they were here. So I'm like, okay, yeah, I want them to remember me being with them, not me filming them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was important to me, too. So there was an element of being able to be in the moment, because I wasn't worried about somebody stepping on my phone or getting my phone wet or losing my phone or having it fall into the canal or, you know, whatever. And I was just kind of able to be fully present, and I don't know, it felt good. And it's also a reality check, and I'll own that. It's like, damn, how much time have I been spending with my face in my phone? You know, that it was a little bit of a wake call for me.
Yeah. Sometimes we just need to step back from that technology a little bit and enjoy the real world instead of the virtual world a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
So we I don't know, I think we'll call this episode Relish the Moment, because I think
condiment
that's
moment.
Condiment the moment. I'll make a note.
No, that sounds funny. Somebody out of context be like, what the heck, what is this business about?
Yeah.
No, I like relishing, moment.
I might make it condiment. I guess the listeners will already know the answer to this question by the time they're listening.
Exactly.
So anything you want to throw in here to wrap this one up? We're coming up on, we didn't have any idea what we're going to talk about, but we've been doing it for 25 minutes already.
Wow. Well, so it's the podcast seems like riding a bike.
Yeah, hey, listeners.
Jump back on again. No, I think we're good.
I think we're good.
I can't wait to see you guys in person. I mean, that's going to be pretty exciting. I jump back in tomorrow, full board, 10-day drive tour through Texas is my Monday, kicking off, and then I run pretty hard until the end of November. So I do relish that time, you know, of kind of recalibrating. But then you get antsy, and then you're like, okay, I haven't been on an airplane in 3 weeks. It's time to get back. The sky caps might miss me.
I got to do that other thing. They're probably checking their Instagram feeds, wondering where Lisa Murphy is. Hey, listeners, hey, thanks for hanging out with us. We'll have an actual topic for the next episode, probably. but I know some of you are just sitting back and drinking wine and laughing at us for being goofballs while you're listening to this too. So I appreciate that, and truly we appreciate the fact that you listen in, because May and June were the two best months for the Upstairs Studios podcast that we've ever had, and we appreciate all your attention and your ears and your thoughts, and I'll try to dig into them in a future episode. But we've had a lot of really nice messages from people that have been finding value in the shows that we're producing. So I'm having a feel right now. Thank you for that. Jeff had a feel. there's another episode title. We'll be back soon with another episode. This has been the Child Care Bar and Grill. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Oh.
Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. If you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.